You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Well, as always, a great time to talk a little Reds baseball. I'm Dave Ramond with Mark Sheldon of Reds.com. And, Mark, there's a lot going on with the Cincinnati Reds on and off the field. But let's start with Pete Rose into the Reds Hall of Fame. Help us just sort of piece it all together, if you will.
Yeah, it was something that was surfaced this morning, and they had a press conference at Great American Ballpark today. It's going to be kind of a very Pete Rose weekend, so to speak, June 24th to 26th. He's going to be elected into the Hall of Fame. He's going to have his number 14 finally and formally retired. As you know, of course, Pete is permanently banned on the ineligible list of Major League Baseball, and this required some permission from Commissioner Manfred, which he granted. And then the Reds had to change their bylaws. The Reds Hall of Fame did. They kind of mirrored what Cooperstown did, saying that anybody on the ineligible list was unable to be elected to the Hall of Fame. And the board of directors altered their bylaws and then unanimously elected Pete to be inducted.
Well, I've got to believe that the reaction locally has been profound and very supportive, right?
Oh, absolutely. Pete Rose is, for whatever you want to say about him as far as what he did and all the mistakes he has certainly made in his life, but the one thing that can't be disputed is what he means to Cincinnati. He's an icon here. He's born and raised in Cincinnati, and he's just, a lot of the great moments of Reds history have either his name on it or he was a part of it. Right up, including the Big Red Machine, breaking Ty Cobb's all-time hits record, the 44-game hitting streak, just being a player manager in the 80s. All of it's really with Pete Rose, and that's why he's so loved here. He's the kind of guy that played the game hard, and a lot of fans really identified with that in Cincinnati. And definitely the feedback I've gotten on social media since it was announced has been entirely, mostly positive. Of course, fans wanted this to go a step further and one of these days get into Cooperstown, but certainly that appears unlikely, and that's one of the reasons that also motivated the Reds to do this. Last month, of course, Commissioner Manfred upheld Rose's ban. The Hall of Fame, which is separate from Major League Baseball, basically said they're not changing anything, and Rose remains ineligible. They're not going to change their rules to see if they can get him up for an election. So Pete Rose is going to be 75 in April. The Reds did not want to wait any longer before acknowledging his career, and so they went ahead with this.
Yeah, 75. It's hard for me to imagine, really. It seems like just yesterday. Was he there at the press conference today?
He was. He was there along with Marty Brenneman and Bob Castellini, the Reds owner, CEO. And, Pete was pretty loose through the whole thing. He was cracking a lot of jokes. He was, sometimes a little off color, as he's known to be. He's Pete, and he for better or worse. But I will say this, he was very honored, though. He paid tribute to the teammates that helped him be great, namely the Big Red Machine guys. But he also was, just very humbled about the Bob Castellini, making some things happen for him to be elected, and just what Cincinnati Reds baseball means to him. He says, of course, that he's never going to give up on Cooperstown, but that the Reds Hall of Fame is, not a second best type of thing. It's to him, because especially that he's from Cincinnati, it's the top for him, and it's a big deal. So he's really honored and very happy about both the Hall of Fame and the number 14 being retired. And as an additional thing, on a separate weekend, at some point down the road, they're going to have a statue for Pete outside the ballpark as well. So there's going to be, Pete's already all over the stadium, his image, and in the Hall of Fame, some of the memorabilia, but now it's all formally going to be there.
Yeah, I thought there was always some difficulty in how they could represent him at the ballpark. I guess, very noticeably absent would be the statue, the number being retired, those sorts of things. There had always been the rumor that on the top of the smokestacks, if you look, there are seven bats on each smokestack, and that was sort of a subtle tribute to Pete. I don't know if there's truth to that or not, if that was...
There's 14 bats total, and there's other things. There's a Rose Garden outside the Reds Hall of Fame. adjacent to the ballpark where Riverfront Stadium used to sit. It's where the hit number 4192 landed. They created a rose garden for that. So there's lots of tributes to him inside and outside of the ballpark, but all of it's kind of been under the guise of, well, he's ineligible, we can't acknowledge his career. And I think now that Bob Castellini and Commissioner Manfred have spoken about this, it's been the way has been paved. The Reds can finally, you know, kind of lift the veil a little bit and be out front about it.
Well, okay. Well, that was huge news today. We had talked about maybe introducing the fans to somebody new for this season in this week's podcast, and kind of a get to know you segment, either a new person to the team or somebody coming up. Who were you thinking about doing this week?
Well, I haven't personally met him myself, so I'm going to have to look forward to meeting him at spring training. But of course, as you know, the Reds have kind of done a lot of rebuilding this winter, and one of the trades they made was a three-way deal that sent Todd Frazier to the White Sox, and coming from the Dodgers in that deal was Jose Peraza, a shortstop / second baseman, and he immediately became the Reds' number one prospect according to MLBPipeline.com, and he's likely kind of projected as a second baseman, and he's already on MLB Pipeline's all-defensive team as among prospects. And he has a great glove, and I'm very interested to see how they can integrate him into the lineup or the team itself, especially with Brandon Phillips firmly entrenched and untraded at second base. That's going to be an interesting season to see how they can get him to play and how he can develop. He's only 21 years old.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing it up, because that is the elephant in the room. I mean, you're talking about looking at the future with this Reds franchise. He certainly represents that a whole lot more than Brandon Phillips. It just seems like this is either a sticky or awkward situation for the time being.
Well, I asked General Manager Dick Williams about that, and of course, Phillips is here. He's the everyday second baseman, but one of the things about Peraza that they like is that they don't feel like he's limited to just second base. They can use him at shortstop, of course, if Zach Cozart needs a break. They also said they could use him in the outfield if he had to. They feel like that he could play center field if they needed him to. So they feel like if he makes the team out of spring training, which is not a guarantee, but if he makes the team, that he can get some every day. Not every day, but he can get some at-bats at multiple positions. He can still grow. If they really feel like he needs to play every single day and keep getting better, Triple-A Louisville, of course, is always an option. But at some point, they're going to have to make a decision. And that's that Phillips will have to sit at times. When that is, I don't know if it does come up, but they have to make that decision that if he's going to sit, that way they can pave the way for positives to really develop. And I don't think Phillips is going to like that very much. Actually, I know he won't, but they'll have to decide on that at some point, because the team isn't going to be contending at least a couple of years. And by then, Brandon Phillips will be done. His contract will be up, and Jose Peraza will be here. So they have to speed that process.
Well, an exciting defensive prospect, lightning quick as well. The prospect of Hamilton and Peraza on the base paths is something that I'm sure has a lot of fans really excited. What do they think about the bat, though? What do you hear from the Reds in that regard?
Well, his numbers in the minor league suggest that he is a guy that can get on base. He's got a nice on-base percentage. He hit pretty well all the way through up to Triple-A. Didn't hit very much in his limited major league appearances with the Dodgers. But while he won't be a guy with a lot of pop, let's say like Zach Cozart or Eugenio Suarez or, of course, Brandon Phillips, he's still a guy that can be exciting, that can get on base, and you know, maybe perhaps projects as a leadoff hitter if Billy Hamilton does not. So while he's a glove-first guy, and I think they really liked him for his glove, his bat's certainly nothing to sneeze at, and they will be happy to have him in the lineup when he's ready.
Yeah, an intriguing guy, because as we wrap it up, as I understand it, he was the big piece in the proposed deal. I'm drawing a blank now on the closer.
Aroldis Chapman. How could you forget so soon?
Right. I know. Anyway, he was like the big piece in the proposed Aroldis Chapman deal, at least as rumor goes.
Right.
And then they worked this three-way deal to get him in the Todd Frazier deal. So they very clearly see something in him that they obviously like quite a bit.
Absolutely, and you don't forget as well that Peraza was a big part of the major Atlanta Braves LA Dodgers trade during the summer. He's been now in two organizations in about 5 months. The only reason why he didn't make it with Atlanta is that, you know, Simmons was at shortstop and he was kind of roadblocked there, and he was a big part of that trade that sent him to Los Angeles. So he's obviously a guy that not just the Reds like, but other organizations like, and you know, nowadays with the even more of an emphasis on defense and defensive metrics and of those things, I think he's a guy that the organization was very excited to get. They really valued him greatly, and now it's just a matter of getting him to play so they can develop him.
Yeah, finding a spot to get him to play. Well, great stuff as always, Mark. Appreciate the time. I know you're running around with all the Pete Rose stuff going on as well, and look forward to catching up again next week.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you. Have a great one.
All right, Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.